it's wedding season. According to the Not a Wedding Planning website, the time of year from May to October is when about 75% of weddings take place in the U.S. A wedding day is often called the happiest day of one's life. But recently, preparation of a wedding ceremony, as well as other events that lead to the big day, have become quite complicated. And it brings emotional and financial burden to people such as couples and guests alike. So let's look at the situation in the U.S. first. It's big money and big business.
Yes, of course. According to the Knot, a wedding planning website, it said that the couples now spend nearly $34,000 on their wedding in the U.S. on average. And for many couples, a wedding is no longer just a one-day affair. It's a marathon of elaborate events that goes on for months, including things like the engagement party, the bridal shower, the destination bachelor and bachelorette party, the trying on the wedding dress brunch. So you give an event to each procedure of your wedding preparation. And according to Samantha Schraber, who is 33 years old, she has been to 7 destination bachelorette parties in cities like Las Vegas, Nashville, and San Diego. And with airfares to hotels, meals, and everything else, these parties can be very pricey. According to the Knot, and the one in California cost Samantha Schraber more than $1,000, which is about twice the national average. And this is not even to attend the wedding ceremony.
Whew. That's a lot of money, especially, what was it, $34,000 being spent on the weddings alone in the U.S. I thought, no, actually, I'm just surprised with, you know, how wealthy people are to splurge on this. What are your thoughts, Carl?
See, I'm not so surprised about that figure because I do know that weddings can be quite expensive in Australia, so I looked at some local figures. So according to one survey done in 2017, it costs about $65,500 on average for a wedding, which is about 310,000 kwai. And another survey recently showed that the price had gone down very slightly, $53,000, which is about 250,000 kwai. That's a quarter of a million kwai on a wedding is now standard in Australia, which is just bizarre to me.
That is so expensive. And people are shelling out for that one day or that marathon. Now that's the thing. It's not just the one big day anymore. It's all those events that I just don't think should exist at all. Sorry to say that. I mean, just, you know, with the engagement, bridal shower. Please explain to us what a bridal shower is, if, you know, because we don't really have this in China.
It's basically a party before the wedding where the bride invites all her friends around and they give her gifts to celebrate the wedding before the wedding starts.
So that's not a bachelor or bachelorette party.
No, the bachelor's party is normally, depending on who the bachelor is, you'll either go and have the bits of whiskey, you might go and have a nice dinner or something, or that's at least what you tell people. The reality is often degenerates into a drunken evening where people end up at a strip club. That's what a bachelor's party tends to be.
And for the bachelorette party, well, there's some sort of equivalent one can research on. But yeah, like with all these parties and events, then you got to invite people to come in, right? And no wonder there is that financial burden on your friends because they can't come empty-handed. They need to pay for themselves and bring gifts and stuff. And that's a lot of money, too.
I know a couple in Australia, a couple of guys who went and got married recently, and they went to New York. They got married in New York, and they expected all of their close friends to stump up the cost of flying from Australia to New York to witness their marriage, which...
I'm sorry, I really don't care that much about your happy life. It's hard earning money. Well, you know, just to being the meanie here. But yeah, like who's going to pay for that? Is it expected that everybody, the friends, have to pay for the friends themselves so they can be there to celebrate your fun? And what about the couple's expenses themselves? Do other people need to cover that too?
The couple, in this case, they cover their own expenses. But no, the friends had to pay. They had to pay for their own accommodation and they had to pay for their own flights. Which, I mean, look, it's nice. They had a nice time and they got married and all of that rubbish. But for me, I just think it's a bit ridiculous. I'm also biased. I've only been to a couple of weddings in my life. And my two absolute favorite ones were the most simple. One was done at a registry office. It took 20 minutes. They're wildly in love with each other. And it was just nice and simple and moving. And it was just about them being together. Another one was held at a friend's farm. They had lots of beers being drunk by, you know, first thing in the morning. And it was fun. I think that's the thing that kind of weeds me out about the big marathon weddings where you've got the engagement party, like you were saying, and the bridal shower and the trying on the wedding dress brunch.
That's insane.
Do you wear the dress to the brunch? That's all a bit weird. But it's the simple ones, because in those simple weddings, people had fun because they weren't worried about everything being perfect, like it's a stage show. It was just about them being there with their friends and family. So I'm, again, it's my personal bias. I don't understand the appeal of the big theatrical wedding.
Well, Huangsheng, what about you? I mean, I'm sure if there's so many people footing the bill for all this stuff, then there must be something of a major draw that gets people to want to get involved with all of this and really shell out for it.
Yeah, because I can definitely understand their mentality, because now I'm also preparing my own wedding. Before, I want a really simple wedding. But it's just like a rolling snowball, you know? As long as you step your foot inside, you see, oh my God, more procedures are waiting for me. I need to pay for that. Because I think the wedding planner, because in China, usually we give those things to the wedding planner, then they can understand your psychology, you know. They just use a trick or the marketing strategy of the feeling of regret. It feels like, okay, now it's a once-a-lifetime event and it's very big, it's very significant. Of course, you want it to be perfect. And if you don't spend enough money or you don't put as more money as you can, then maybe in the future you will regret. You may think your wedding ceremony is not that perfect. And also, I think in China, we're quite lucky because we simplified the procedures a lot. So for us, we only have a wedding ceremony, and maybe we'll have a bachelor or bachelorette trip with your best friends. But recently, I know there's also a rehearsal dinner, you know.
Oh, so
because you want to invite your relatives and your friend to another city to attend your wedding. And then on the night before the wedding, usually you need to offer a meal or a grand one or a big one to your friends or relatives, saying, oh, we really welcome you. Besides ceremony, we also need to treat you with a rehearsal dinner.
So that's kind of the same as what Western people do now, I suppose, with the rehearsal dinner before the wedding.
Yes, there's often a rehearsal dinner and a lot of rehearsal events, which, again, seems
people
like... People get drunk and stuff.
Yeah.
I can understand the sentiment of, you know, it's your big day, you're probably only doing it once and you want to make it special. My very cynical viewpoint for that would be, given that the divorce rate is skyrocketing and in a lot of places, about half of marriages end in divorce. If you really want to save money but don't feel guilty, if you consider the fact that you're probably going to, there's a 50-50 chance, you know, for example, in Australia, your wedding will end within about 3 or 4 years in a divorce, spend half as much on your first wedding. If you're lucky, you won't need to spend more money on a second wedding, and you've saved a fortune. And if you do end up getting divorced in 3 or 4 years, spend the other half of the money on your next wedding.
But at the same time, you know, because we say, what's the function of having a wedding? It's giving you a sense of ceremony. So since you have already poured so much stupid amount of money into the wedding, maybe when there's some problems show up in your marriage, you will think twice. Maybe we can have more, you know, motivation to conquer all the difficulties.
Well, I suppose that's possibly the reason that you should never utter it out verbally of keeping the marriage together. Yeah, these days you see that, well, here in China, if I can think of another difference in the events that people pay for up till the big day of called the wedding, is also in China, it's big. It's huge that people get special pictures taken, a collection of pictures taken, sometimes in costumes, and you get to pick and choose the location and how many sets of costumes you want to be in, and it can get hugely expensive too. And but that's mainly just financial strain on the couples. I mean, if the couple wants to pay for it, or they're wealthy enough to shoulder that financial responsibility, fine. And at least this is not bothering other people. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about this photo op thing that I don't see as much in Western countries, but it's huge here in China.
Yeah, so I think for Chinese couples, wedding photo is the first step. Because
it starts with the wedding photos.
Yes.
The collection.
And usually you need to book the studio maybe a year or half a year before your wedding, because they will put you on a schedule. Maybe you need to wait 3 or 4 months to shoot your photos, and then it takes them 2 months to do the Photoshop. Then you can get your photos maybe nearly at least half a year after you sign a deal or contract with them. So it's very complicated. And I think for me, I just chose the most simple one. I just do the photos in Beijing, find a really signature building to take my wedding photos. But I know some of my friends, they want a wedding photos to be more extravagant or more fancy. I think one of my friends, she went to Sanya because she wants some seaside. She wants a sea view. And one of my friends even went to Europe for taking the photos. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Although I have no huge interest in having, you know, should the day come, a very large and elaborate wedding, I absolutely want to get my wedding photos done in China, because some of them are just amazing.
Yeah.
So you get there was one set where this couple had gone down to a beach, and there was this mad rush to sort of rush in to near the waterline, lie perfectly on these rocks just before the next big wave hit. So you've got this huge wave smashing above their heads as they kiss on this beautiful beach. It's incredible. It would have been an absolute pain to do, and they're the sort of photos you can only shoot once, because then you're, you know, soaking wet. But their wedding photo, their wedding, you know, album was full of amazing pictures like that. So although I, again, can't see the appeal of a big wedding, I can absolutely see the appeal of spending a stupid amount of money on awesome photos.
But do you know, you also need to hire a photographer to go with you even during a wedding ceremony. So the whole collection of your wedding photo is not only about the pre-shooting ones. There's also photographers needed in the wedding ceremony. So you have more wedding photos at a real site.
Oh, that's just
really complicated.
Yeah, way too much for me. And well, you know, since I work in the media profession, and sometimes we need to doll up and have photos taken, and I hate doing that. I'll just be straightforward about that. So if one day I get married, I would like to just skip all that stuff. But yeah, like I kind of agree with you, Huangshen, that you kind of really want to mark the occasion, remember that day, and when you're old and have no teeth, and you possibly want to have like physical evidence to show you that, oh, we used to be so happy. Oh, that didn't sound too positive.
That really did not sound.
Oh, it's like if there's only me left now, and I have something to reminisce. No, that didn't sound good either.
But 60 years of marriage, at least I can look back, and there was one day when we were truly happy.
Happy. Look at how happy we were back then. But you know, and how young and beautiful you were. No, I mean, it's about ceremony, about rituals, about almost giving yourself evidence that it's worthwhile to carry on in a way. Gosh, I just have no positive outlook on
what if your future husband want everything? See, like a grand wedding and very, you know, European style photo.
So the exact opposite to what I want. Funny that you brought it up, Huangshan. Apparently, just planning for the wedding and all those events that lead up to the wedding, it can become a way to break off the marriage. Because some people, like, actually just can't stand each other anymore when they have ideas and conflict with each other. And this becomes a test to whether the couple can actually keep it together and come to a conclusion that both are happy about. And also, guys, I saw the figure for China's wedding or just this bridal industry. It's worth more than 1.4 trillion yuan. That would be 210 billion US dollars, according to a market research company, ASKCI Consulting, in 2017. Who's paying for this? Considering that actually in China, there's actually less people getting married, but you see growth in all this money that's being earned in the industry, then how do you explain that?
Is, you know, I think definitely the parents pay for that. I don't think the younger generation have that financial capability to afford such a, you know, fancy wedding. And ironically, we say that now the rate of getting married is decreasing, but why the spend is on the rise. And also, I think in this year's, we have simplified many procedures of the wedding ceremony because recently people are, you know, pursuing a more high-end or customized wedding. Then pay for this customized or personalized service, definitely you need more money.
Oh, it's just a lot of money being poured into this. But somehow I just feel that isn't the really lavish wedding something that a small number of people would actually be able to afford or their family can afford? For most of us common people, the laity, hui polois out there, I mean, we don't spend that much. I find there to be sort of a mismatch in what's available and what people are actually spending on. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, although, again, coming from like the Australian perspective where people are spending, you know, $50,000 or more on a wedding, it is pretty common. I think there is that expectation that for most people they'll have a big, elaborate wedding, which I think is why it's quite stressful for people when they've got to think about, you know, is it going to be big enough? Is it going to be nice enough? Is it going to be memorable? Is it going to be, you know, the big day that we'll always look back fondly on? Rather than just, this is a nice day. It was a signpost in the relationship.
Yeah.
Why can't it be a simple thing?
Yeah, why can't it be a simple thing?
And now there's even a new trend of destination wedding. Is sometimes you have two weddings. One is to a destination that only for you and your really close friend. And the other one is for your parents and your parents' friend. So it's really, really complicated. But I think nowadays, if you say the wedding is another test for your friendship or for your relations with your relatives, so that's pretty hard because you can see the cost on this. For example, if you hold a wedding in a different city, you need to invite all your friends come over. And I think a nice person like me, I will cover their accommodation. But if a really stingy person, maybe they don't cover anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'll just proudly announce, I have no friends, so I will not be spending so much on one big party on one day. There's a million ways to better spend the money. Or, I don't know, I think I just like to get the other perspective out there too. Don't feel bad if you don't have that much money to spend on this one day. Don't feel bad about that, or don't feel bad about not wanting to spend so much on that one day. Of course, we respect those with the opinion that they really can splurge or want to splurge on this. But, you know, sometimes it just, thought matters too. Just, you know, doesn't have to be a arms race of who's got the fancier wedding or whatever it is.
That's the thing. I think as long as you have fun and you enjoy the experience rather than, you know, dread it for months and months before it arrives, thinking about, is everything going to go well?
Yeah.
And that's why, look, I think one of the funnest weddings I have ever heard of was two people who, one of them was an American, and they went with their partner to Las Vegas, and they got married in Las Vegas's famous Elvis Chapel. And then to celebrate, afterwards they went next door and fired machine guns at a gun range. And that was just, they didn't have other people there. They just went and did it by themselves, and they just did the funnest, stupidest thing that they could think of.
Yeah.
And they were really happy with that. And it was cheap, and it was interesting, and they will always remember it.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. And just think about the poor parents. They will become poor after the wedding, since they're footing the bill. Gosh, another way, a reason not to become a parent, actually. Anyhow, sorry for pointing out all the wrong points in this discussion. But yeah, we hope that, you know, everybody should have the opportunity to, you know, see what's best for you and, yeah, not be swayed and carried away by what maybe other friends are doing. Yeah, you're listening to Roundtable.